With thunders of praise. this morning.
Yes.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
This is the Father's house.
Yes.
This is not the hog pen.
Thank you, Lord.
There is peace in the house.
Yes.
Joy in the house.
Yes.
Salvation in the house.
Yes.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Prosperity in the house.
Yes.
Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want's in the house.
Yes.
If it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this assembly here this morning, gathered to hear the word of God and to share the testimony of Jesus. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word this morning. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and the authority of the believer, that we may be able to operate the ministries in the offices that you've given us, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
All right. We left off in Acts chapter 13. And I think Acts chapter 13 is certainly one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts. Because we're talking about it, it really teaches us a lot about the offices of the ministry. Now we know how many, we talk about the fivefold offices of the ministry. What are they? Anybody can name them?
Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors.
That's right. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are the five, call that the fivefold office. But then, of course, we know that there are other offices besides that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 goes on and lists some more, and Romans chapter 12 lists some more, and so on and so forth. But we call it the fivefold office, the fivefold ministry. And we see here in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain pastors and teachers. Not pastors or teachers, but pastors and teachers. And it lists them for as examples of those that were there. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. Now, remember, this Saul is the Apostle Paul, or he will become the Apostle Paul here very shortly.
Uh-huh.
There was no so what this is telling us is that Saul at this time was operating as a prophet and a teacher.
Yes.
He was operating in two offices. Now Brother Hagen points out, let's see if I can find, and this is his book on the ministry gifts. I don't know whether you all have ever studied that in here or not.
Yeah.
And he says, and he's absolutely right about this, that a person can stand in more than one office at the same time. Of course, we see here that there were five of them that did. Barnabas was a pastor, Barnabas was a prophet and a teacher. Simeon was a prophet and a teacher. Lucius was a prophet and a teacher. Manaen was a prophet and a teacher. And Saul was a prophet and a teacher. All right, so they were already operating in two of the offices. Brother Hagen says we separate these ministry offices in order to define them, and that is true. A person who stands in these offices doesn't think about which office he's working in or which office he's operating in at the particular time. Let me read a couple more things Brother Hagen says here about this. How can you tell when you're called to an office? And he gives one, two, three ways that you can tell here. First of all, you will have a conviction in your own spirit.
Amen.
You don't need somebody to tell you that you're called, because you'll know it before anybody else does. The Lord will speak to you about it before he does to anybody else.
Amen.
Now the Lord might confirm what you're thinking, feeling in your spirit, by, you know, somebody else speaking to you about it. You will have the witness in your own heart. Now, this is the one I really like here. You will have the spiritual equipment, the gifts of the Spirit that go along with the office or offices to which you are called.
That's good.
Now, this is really important, and I've been saying for years, if you want to know what you're called to do in the Lord, what can you do? What can you do? Can you work miracles? Well, then work miracles. If you can heal, then heal. If you can teach, then teach. If you're called to an office, you're going to be equipped with the equipment, the spiritual equipment that office calls for. He's not going to call you to an office and then leave you destitute of the ability to be able to do it.
That's good.
He's going to equip you. Now, this is the part where it comes about qualifying for that office. Those gifts will be in you trying to get out. They're going to be trying to get out. And you will begin to feel the urge and to do those things. And you need to give place to that and not to quench the Spirit. For example, one of the offices is the ability to give messages in tongues or to interpret tongues. That is an office. We don't all do that. Paul said we don't all do that. He said, do all speak with tongues? No, we don't. Do all interpret? No, we don't. But there are people who are, that is an office. It is a ministry. That is a ministry. Now, at some point in time, of course, God is going to want to begin to use you to do that. If he wants to set you in that office, he calls you before he puts you in the office. So you're going to know that you're called to do something before you're actually set in that office and begin to operate in that office. Well, so what you do is, in order to prepare for your installation in that office, you begin to operate the ministry, the gifts that go with that office whenever you feel the urge or the unction to do it. So if the Lord wants you to, for example, if he's going to put you in the office of one who gives messages in tongues, he's going to begin to try to get you to do that in the congregation. And so what you need to do when you feel that urge, then you need to do it.
Amen.
And if you're one that he wants to use to interpret tongues, you're going to have to give place to that urge when he urges you to do it and not sit there and say, no, I'm afraid. Because if you do that, then you will never qualify for that office and you will never stand in that office.
Can you repeat that again? Never qualify.
You will never qualify for that office unless you exercise the ability that God has given you. You will not qualify and you will never stand in that office, even though you're called to that office.
Jesus.
Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Because they just don't qualify themselves. They don't qualify themselves. You have to, for example, if you're a teacher, if you're called to be a teacher, you got to study to show yourself approved.
Amen.
You cannot teach without studying to show yourself approved. If you don't study to show yourself approved, he will never set you in the office as a teacher.
Amen.
Because you're not qualified. You are the one that have to qualify. He does the calling, but you got to qualify.
Separation, that's what Pastor Jim always says. The calling is of God, but the separation
That's true. That's right. Now, you got to do your part. There's a Godward side and a manward side to all of this.
Very good.
So what was going on here? Now, we see that Paul, there was no such thing as Saul the apostle. You never hear that. Saul was not an apostle. Saul was a pastor. I keep saying pastor. Saul was a teacher and a prophet. Mm-hmm. Paul was an apostle.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're fixing to see when Saul becomes Paul, and he becomes Paul when he is sent into the office.
Yes.
And we're going to see just exactly when that happened. This happened on. Now Paul knew that he was called, From the day that he was encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he knew that he was called to be an apostle. He knew that. But this was many years had gone by now. And he'd been qualifying himself. He'd been fasting and prayer. He'd been 3 years in Arabia doing what we don't know. He'd had visions and revelations and all kinds of things. He'd been to Jerusalem and talked to the apostles and so on. He'd been qualifying himself. And in the meantime, he was operating in the ministry in the office of a prophet and a teacher. So he began teaching immediately. I mean, he really began. Now, remember that Saul was tremendously, tremendously intelligent, and he had been taught. He knew the scriptures. He had been taught before he ever got saved.
Yeah.
Now that's, you know, most folks get saved, and then they need to, you know, then they need to get themselves educated. Paul was educated.
Yes, he was.
Before he ever got saved.
Yeah.
Now he just needed the revelation of how this all works together, because he didn't know how he had all the pieces.
That's good.
He didn't know how they all fit together.
Jesus.
So now, you know, the Lord had to deal with him and get him to be able to fit all the pieces together. So this is what he was doing for all these years. And when he was in Arabia and so on, he was trying to figure out, he was trying to get the revelation of how to get all this stuff together, what it all meant and what to do with it all. Because he knew he didn't know nothing. I mean, he realized that he was all wrong about everything. So then he had to get, you know, he had to just kind of just hit the restart button. He had to reboot. He had to reboot because he was all messed up. And he knew it. He was all messed up. He had to reboot. So that's what he was doing for like 20 years. Now about 20 years have gone by. Yeah.
That really opens up some understanding to me, because, you know, all those years he spent, I always wondered, why was it so long between then till he got started?
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, people call, you know, God calls people.
Yeah.
But how many of them are willing to go through that long
process? That's right.
Of preparation?
That's true.
You know, Jesus
That's
went
true.
Through 18 years.
Yep. That's right.
And here's Saul doing the same
That's
thing.
That's right.
But how many of us are missing out on our
That's right.
Our ministry in the Lord.
That's true.
We're not willing to stay with it.
That's right. And if you're not, that's a good point, because if you're not, you know, all kinds of people think that, you know, as soon as you hear the call, as soon as you feel the call, that they're ready to go. No, you're not. You're not ready to do diddly. There is a preparation time.
Right.
And many that does that make shipwreck.
They do. And what happens is, if you jump up and run off and try to do what you can't do before you can do it, you never qualify yourself to do it. So God never puts you in that office that he called you to in the first place, because you were never willing to qualify yourself, because you wanted to do what you couldn't, what you weren't qualified to do right at the moment when he first called you. See, we try to get the cart before the horse. First the calling, then the office. Okay? So when you're called, and you begin to prepare yourself. And the gifts and the gift package, if you will, that go along to with the office are going to try to operate. It's going to try to operate through you, and you have to just let, for example, that, you know, when you first get saved, and especially if you feel a call to the ministry, begin to share Christ with people. Begin to testify.
Amen.
If you can't share Christ with one person, you're not going to be able to share Christ with 100,000 people. You know, so you need to be able to get to where you can start small. You see, you start out small. Small steps. Baby steps. And as you go, then you develop, and your ministry increases. Until you're in the full blown, you know, office. You're fully operating in the office.
And then, well, Brother Monty, the world and Satan and the church sometimes try to say, you get a certain age, God's put all this time and effort in you to prepare you to this, but you're 62, you need to retire. You're 65, you need to retire. You don't If you're 70-something, you're not going to be in good health. It's a life thing. God puts all that time into that ministry. He wants you to live a long life.
That is true. That is absolutely right. Age means nothing to God.
Why?
God doesn't care about age. He's not concerned about that at all. Your spirit is timeless anyway.
Amen.
So, we don't retire from the ministry.
Amen.
Hey, we do. There's no such thing as retiring from the ministry. You don't retire from the ministry. That ministry, that calling is going to be on you till you draw your last breath.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get rid of it. It's going to be there. So we need to be waiting on our ministry. I don't mean just wait for something to happen. We need to wait on our ministry like you wait tables, you know.
Right. Yeah.
We need to serve our ministry.
Yeah.
All right.
We need, in the like vein, we need to retire. We need to put on new tires and get going.
That's right. We need to refire. You need to refire. That's right. Retire. That's right. Tire up and go. Get tired up and go. There you go. That's good. I like that. Praise the Lord.
Original.
That's a good one. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to read one more scripture here, and then I'm going to turn this over to Brother Thurston. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So now, I'll read one more or two here. So let's get this over with here. It says, "And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Now that is the definition of an apostle. It is one who is sent. In the Hebrew, it's called shaliach. It's one who is sent. It means to be sent. Okay? So they sent them away, and now they become Paul. He becomes Paul. Down in verse 9 then says, "Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." This is the first miracle that is recorded that the Apostle Paul worked. Now this, miracles, like we said last time, 10-year, miracles are one of the gift packages. The working of miracles is one of the gift packages.
Amen.
That apostles have.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see, and Paul was not in the office of an apostle before now. Now, as soon as he's sent out as an apostle, he begins to operate in that office, and we begin to see him working miracles and doing things that we associate with the Apostle Paul. So this is very important for us to understand that Paul's ministry has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
Yes.
In chapter 13, verse 1, Paul's ministry changes dramatically. He begins to operate as an apostle.
Yeah.
Now, undoubtedly, he had worked miracles before because, it doesn't happen just like turning on and off a switch. You know, God begins to try to use you in doing these things. And he obviously was doing these things a little bit along as he went. He was qualified himself, although they're not recorded. We don't have any of them recorded. Not until chapter 13 when he's actually sent forth. Now we just get them one right after another, after another, after another. And this is the, now we're introduced to the Apostle Paul, as we've
Amen.
Always known the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord.
That's great.